I'm Allison Kaskowski, otherwise known as the Allison K. I'm a fitness innovator and entrepreneur turned business mentor and retreat master. A client experience is more than just making the sale or the transaction. A client experience is about how it's put together so that clients can receive amazing real transformation. Here you'll hear all about how the industry leaders are creating amazing experiences. I'm always going to give it to you straight because I know your time is valuable. Are you ready? Let's get into the show.
Hey, everybody, it's Allison Kaskowski. Thank you for joining me again this week for another edition of Creating the World's Best Client Experiences. This is our business edition show, which is an offshoot of our very successful Tuesday flagship show, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. And like you hear me tell you every single week, what I like to focus on this show is not just the nuts and bolts of how you run your business and what's the next greatest plan to help make you more money. What I like to focus on here is how do we enhance customer value, not just for you, the business owner, but for the people that we serve. And also, how can we highlight the transformation that our customers or clients actually get when they work with us? But we're going to take a little different turn today. Today, I'm joined by Stephanie Hayes, who is a business strategist and exit strategist. And what she helps her clients do is build an asset-based business model. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, as business owners, we want to be thinking toward the future rather than how do we get to next year? We want to be thinking way down the road, whether your plan is to grow and expand, or whether your plan is to exit completely, or whether your plan is to sell and move on to the next thing. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Fantastic. Please, if you would, introduce yourself to my audience.
Yeah, well, like you said, I'm a business and exit strategist. My background is in business model design. I'm a business architect in the corporate world. And I'm really fascinated with how people design and build a business around them. And, you know, some of the earlier work I would do would be more around creating aligned business models and alignment throughout your business, because that definitely contributes to your success. And then I became really interested in the idea of exits and of, you know, buying and renovating and selling businesses. And what I started to realize was that there's actually a market for these small businesses and solo entrepreneurs, because there's still value in their business and people will buy businesses of any size. And, you know, like there's just a market for everything. And so I wanted to bring that back to my client base, who are small business owners and solo entrepreneurs, and help them understand that they can actually build value, and they have built value inside their business, and they can build a more valuable business so that there is a long-term plan. Because most of these guys are kind of like, well, you know, when I'm done, I'm done. Do I just shut my business down? You know? So,
yeah. So I love that. And I love where you're going with this, and that you're just really challenging your clients to not just think bigger, but just think in a different way.
Right. And some of them are not, you know, they don't have the intention of building some big, massive, right, you know, corporation. They might just be like, hey, I want to keep doing this and feeling really good about my business and just running a small business. I know solo entrepreneurs who are making, you know, well into the seven figures. And yes, they have a team around them, but they tend to be, you know, sort of loosely coupled. And so there's absolutely a way of building growth and building a business around you that doesn't mean you have to become a CEO of a big corporation. So I want to, you know, I want to break that down, and I want to give them options and say, look, if you are looking to, if you have a plan and you have an idea of where you want to go with this, then you can build that and you can execute on that. But you just need to do some planning. You need to put a stake in the ground and say, this is where I want to go.
Yeah, I love that. And also, to your point, I'm just going to add one more thing to what you just said. It's really almost like what you do is that you're helping people see that really what they're doing is more than just their job. What they're doing is they're building something, you know, in their vision, but they're also building that vision to go with the future that they want.
100%. And I think a lot of people haven't gotten there yet and really giving themselves permission to even think that they have a future. And look, this isn't for everybody, right? Not everybody wants to be an entrepreneur, and that's totally fine. But those who have stepped into it are stepping into it because there are things that they actually really want. And they are now coming into a new level of understanding this is what I'm hoping to bring to all of them, that they also have options to have a wealthy event inside of their business. They can sell the assets. I bought the assets of a business once, right? You can sell the assets inside your business. You don't have to sell the whole thing. You don't have to create some tech bro VC funded thing in order to build, to exit your business. There are lots of options. And so this is what we're trying to build and trying to support these guys around is like, you already have value in your business. And, you know, I've got a little downloadable if your folks are interested in like the 9 different types of assets you can build inside your business. Those all have value and they all contribute to the value of your business. So there's options.
Oh, I love that. You're totally speaking my language. I just love this because I feel like so many business owners, it's just about like, you know, I'm just going to backtrack here for a minute. A lot of business owners start a business because they love what they do, but they want to do it their way. So they basically go from doing what they're doing for somebody else to doing it for themselves. So it's really like they buy themselves a job. And I think a lot of the mindset with that is just to keep doing what they're doing, only do it on their schedule, on their time, in the way that they want. But to your point, there's really not a bigger picture that they're thinking about, like, where do I want to be in 10 years? And also to your point, you know, maybe they don't want to build a big corporation, but they all ultimately want something or they wouldn't be starting to work for themselves and create a business.
Let me just add on to that too, that I actually have a lot of clients who are like, I don't want to build a big corporation. In fact, I just had a conversation with one of them yesterday and she's like, but that's not my goal. And they seem to think that to get higher income, they have to move towards that. But when we broke down her business model, I said, look, there's totally a way for you to do this and double your revenue without becoming some big, you know, corporation. You can actually do this if you're, you know, if you're very intentional about it and you actually decide what you want. Because I asked her, you know, she's been in business, I've known her for years, and she's been in business for a long time. And she couldn't tell me what she wanted to move into because I think people don't give themselves permission to do so because they don't think that there are options for them.
Yeah. And I also think there's, for some people, depending on where they come from and what their story is, I think for a lot of people, there's some fear there too. They tie a lot of their identity to what they do. And there's this fear that if I move away from that, my income's going to dry up.
Or I'm going to become a different person.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to have to operate differently in my business. I don't know what my role is going to be. I really love the work that I do. But what's usually true is that they love part of the work that they do. And they would love if we could distill their work to just that and have them supported in other ways. And that's a lot of the work I do too. So yes, we're moving towards exit strategies. But the whole point of doing that is like, even if you don't ever sell your business or you don't have the intention of selling your business, there are lots of different types of exits you can make. But one of the big things that that gives us is a roadmap to value and to assets. And really the bulk of the work we're doing is on growth strategy. So when you don't know how to grow, you don't have that vision for yourself, you know, it feels like I just need to throw my money at marketing tactics. But when we start looking at growth strategy from the perspective of a benchmark valuation, now we can see all the places where there's opportunity and risk inside the business, and we can follow those to create strategies that they may not have thought of before that could actually improve their profitability, improve their revenue, et cetera, right? So that intentionality is such a huge part of, you know, building growth. And when people see that they can get that growth by being supported inside their business, that's a big step for them.
Absolutely.
And at first they feel like they can't make that investment, but when they start doing the numbers, they realize that that's what's going to put them on that growth path.
Well, and I love that you brought this up because I think it's almost like in my mind, and I'm sure people listening can relate to this. I sort of think of it as the levels of business. I sort of think of like the new business owner putting systems in place, you know, maybe having a VA if they have a team at all. Then you get to the next level where you're thinking more about team members. Then you're moving more into the levels like what you're talking about, where you're really looking at growth. You know, if maybe your goal is to scale to at some point to kind of take you out of day-to-day operations and have you focusing on other things in the business. I just really think the more I hear you talk about this, that it's really more of a mindset shift too.
There's a huge mindset component. I have a client that I worked with all last year, and her big goal was to get herself out of to get herself back writing. She's a writer and she teaches writers how to write a certain type of writing. And she was just drowning in day-to-day operations and feeling really unsatisfied. And we did, you know, we did work over the last year to sort of make progress towards that. But we had this huge sort of aha moment at the end of the year where we had this conversation. And I said, look at your numbers. So you're spending all this money on marketing and you're spending all this money on this and that. And I'm like, let's shift these numbers around. And what if you made an investment in having, you know, some support, and this would take you entirely out of the day-to-day operations, and you could start writing again, and you could focus. Like, I want every business owner to be focused just on the work that's going to move their business forward, and that is unique and like totally aligned to them. And then what I often do is I come in as a sort of shadow CEO, and I'll take over the, you know, the operational part of their business because I like it and I can do it well. And so I get to own their strategy and build their strategy with them and construct their operations so that they don't have to be part of it anymore and build that team around them and what have you. So all of a sudden she is now, like, she had to have a huge mindset shift there, but then she saw the light and we saw the numbers and she has completely removed herself from every operational part of her business. And it feels so much lighter for her because she just hated any of the stuff that was, and she's writing now. She's launched a writing platform. She's, yeah, you know, she's totally focused on the things that she needs to do that are expanding the business.
Yeah, I love that. And it really, as you were talking, I was just, you know, kind of building an image in my mind. And really what's coming up for me as I was listening to you talk is that, especially when you're talking about your client, is that you're basically letting her go back to her zone of genius, right? Instead of her zone of excellence, where she's going back and doing the things where she can really use her natural gifts. And that exponentially will help her grow her business and her income more than trying to be stuck in the weeds of doing all the things that she's probably good at, but she doesn't really want to be doing.
She's not even, like, and by her own admission, she hated all of it, but she was stuck doing it because she felt like she had to, because her mindset was in this sort of scarcity of like, well, if I don't do it, everything's going to fall apart. And just by way of example, one of the things that has happened since she's had the space and the time, like the mental space plus the time to just, you know, be able to think about her business, she's identified a whole new market opportunity, whole new demographic that she can serve, that we can target with all of our marketing activities. And that might open up a whole other, like, book of business for her.
Yeah, which really does not happen if you're stuck doing all the day-to-day. Because you really, and you know, what you end up telling yourself, and I can relate to this because I owned two brick-and-mortar studios for a lot of years before I transitioned my business. And I just remember the thought I kept telling myself was, I'll get to it next year. Well, next year I'll get to that. And then it just, you're just continuing to put it off. And really what I had to really have an honest conversation with myself, like, I don't want to keep doing these same things, you know, because I'm really good at what I do, but what I really want to be doing is something else. You know, I really want to be, you know, focusing my efforts in some other places because that's what really excites me. And it's really my zone of genius.
And that's what's going to be beneficial for the growth of your business. Yeah. You know, before I did any of this exit stuff or asset stuff, I would do, my whole platform was built around alignment inside your business. And so all of these people would sort of, you know, like, they're not business people. They want to do the work that they want to do on their own. And so they kind of got into business, but they would, you know, take these courses or listen to these experts. And they would, you know, a lot of these guys sell their services saying, just do what I did. And that's like the kiss of death for your business, because you need to build a business around yourself, right? So, you know, on that note, you know, what you're describing is that when you, it's not just about being happier doing the work, it's actually when you're doing work that you're energized by and that you do really well and that feels really good for you, that contributes to growth inside your business. That is what you should follow, because it's going to mean that your business is going to follow your energy, and you're going to probably have a lot more energy for growth if it's aligned with who you are as an individual.
Yeah, because really at the end of the day, there are things, I think anyone listening, any business owner listening can relate to this. I really think there are things that you're best suited to do yourself. And there are a lot of things that you can do and you can probably do with, you know, not a lot of difficulty, but it's a time suck and it's an energy suck. So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product and it's called Cellevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement. And it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Cellevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Cellevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day. And what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled cellevate.com, which is cellev8.com. And use my special promo code, the Allison K 2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this.
And oftentimes that's the operational side of business, which I actually happen to love. And so it works really well, you know, but it also takes someone being able to look from the outside in and say, I can see that what, you know, what is so aligned for you is X. And then, you know, if you can follow that and you can really lean into it. But I think, you know, you, speaking of mindset, you have to get out of that mindset of like protectionism over your business. And a lot of people will get very fear-based and they think, well, I have to do everything. I have to be involved. And I had to,
you know, it won't be as good unless I do it, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Right. And just because my clients keep asking for me means I have to do it. But all you need to do is set the expectation that you've got a team around you or whatever. But, you know, the business that I bought a couple of years ago was all around educating and helping and coaching virtual assistants and freelancers to build their own businesses, right? And now there's this convergence of these two where these guys are like, it's just an economy, right? And so these guys who are in that business, they're really interested in supporting other business owners. And so my business owners in this business who need that help can now start to get fed that help from my people in my other business. So it's all like there's this economy of support. And when you can lean into that support, I just wrote a piece on this week, but when you can lean into that support and when you can accept that support, that's when you can start to see growth. Does that mean that the only way to grow is to add people? No. You know, there's lots of other places, but I can tell you that having the right people around you can, you know, definitely facilitate your growth.
No, and I completely agree with that. So why don't we just go through, just give us a couple of examples about, because I know people in my audience are going to want to get your freebie. I know I'm super curious about it as well. What are some of the, right off the top of your head, the most common, and I know everybody's business is different, so I'm not like saying this is just a laundry list for everyone to follow. But I'm betting there are probably people listening that are thinking, what are some examples of an asset that I could build in my business? Like, I don't know if you have like a top three, like what's most common, what's a good place to begin? Can you give us just a few tidbits around that?
Yeah, I would hesitate to say the most common ones because people will immediately say, well, I don't have that. But what I think people don't realize is that they've got a lot of valuable assets inside their business already that they don't really recognize. And so one example would be a lot of small business owners, solopreneurs, you know, online business owners, they produce a lot of content and a lot of creative work in the realm of marketing, right? And some of that creative work can be packaged up as an asset and sold, or it can become, you know, something else like a program. So a great example, I have a client who runs a digital marketing agency for, you know, B2B. And just by way of her operations, she had built all of this, you know, amazing content around, you know, running their own agency just to facilitate their own operations. And so she was able to turn that into something of value for other agency owners, right? So she wasn't even building it with the intention of it being an asset. And, you know, it is. And so she could open up this whole other market of other agency owners. Another asset is, of course, your audience. So if you have a list or you have, you know, a social media following or something like that, that's an asset inside your business. You're coming from the perspective of what would someone pay for? What would someone value if they wanted to buy it from you from as a business? Another one would be intellectual property. So if you've created a framework or you've created a methodology or something like that, you can actually license that out. You can create licensable IP and just create a whole other business opportunity for you inside your business. Obviously, products are, you know, if you have products you've created, those are assets. If you have investments you've created inside your business, those are assets. Maybe you did a collaboration or, you know, you earned stock from, you know, another company for doing some work together, or you just have, you know, shares inside of another joint venture or something like that, or you just make investments inside your business. Those are all assets. Productized services are assets, which is probably one of the top assets we talk about in my program with my clients. Yeah, because these are often service-based business owners. And so how can I productize my services? How can I productize an event that I do, right? Well, I want to do a retreat, yeah. Right? Those can become brands, right? And you can totally sell them off, right? Yeah. So there's just like, if you get into this mindset of assets and an asset-based business, it just changes everything in the way that you make decisions around what you're creating and investing.
Yes. Yeah. I just think that a lot of business owners, I think they get to a point and they either, and you pretty much alluded to this earlier, there's just a fear. They have to give themselves permission to do it. But I also think that there are just a lot of business owners that just have no clue that they have all these options available for them.
They absolutely do not. And this is why it's become such an attractive conversation. And it's a totally new way of thinking. I mean, I don't know anyone else who's talking about this. It was just like,
I don't either, if I'm being honest.
Right? You know? And so I have all these people who have been around me now for a few years and, you know, in my previous program as well, when this concept sort of started evolving. And they just like, they're not building big, massive businesses, but all the decisions they're making inside their businesses is with this future focus now. And they don't invest in anything. They don't start anything unless there's a possibility of creating an asset from them. Like, it's just become a mindset shift for them. So it's really fun to watch. And when you back out of this, it's not just about the exit, right? This informs how you grow. This informs the growth strategy that you create. And so in my program, it's certainly kind of led from the assets and the exits perspective. It's called Assets to Exits, because I'm not very creative in my naming.
Yeah.
but the bulk of the content in there is like a whole growth strategy from whatever phase you're in. Even if you're a startup right now, you can still start building with that perspective and with that mindset. And it just changes the trajectory of your evolution as a business owner. So wherever you are in your, what breaks my heart is seeing people get to this point, you know, 5-7 years in, where they're just like, I'm burnt out. I, you know, don't know what I want to do with this. And they just shut everything down. I'm like, no, there's like this big piece of value, and you know, you can sell a business for $500. So you like this, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I can completely relate to what you're saying, because, you know, 10 years ago, that was me. I was like, yep, almost burned out completely with what I was doing. And I've never had many days where I've gotten up and I haven't wanted to come to work. I mean, I love my profession and have just so fortunate to believe that, you know, I love what I do. And I talk to people all the time who are just like looking at calendars and saying, I've got a year till I can retire. And I've just never thought like that. But to your point, I can completely understand being at a point where you're like, is this all there is? Is this as good as it can get? And I just think that for so many business owners, just being able to open their eyes and help them see that, you know, there's so much more to what you can do. I mean, your brain is such a wonderful thing, and it's amazing what it can help you create.
I think burnout is often like categorized as being overtired or having worked too hard. I actually think burnout is when you don't see a possibility of progression, when you don't feel aligned with your work, when you don't see a future, when you don't see other opportunities. That's burnout to me. And I think that's more prevalent.
More and more. Right.
Right. And I know you do a lot of work around self-care. And for me, self-care is having a business that's aligned with you. There is, I work 7 days a week, and I don't really recommend this, but I can't help myself because I'm so interested and excited, and like none of it feels like a drag, right? It all feels like, oh, I just
was made
this
for a very long time. I can relate to that too.
Yeah. And I know I've started to declare Stephanie Saturdays where I know I should, and I know I need to take that break, but I'm like, I don't feel like it's coming from a place of obligation. It's coming from a place of excitement. And that's great,
really,
right?
Like,
that's what you want, right?
Yeah, totally. But to your point, if you're not in the headspace where you're still continuing to feel inspired and excited by your work, then you're never going to get to the place where you're like, you know what? I'm going to take a Stephanie day today, for example, and I'm going to go get a massage, and I'm going to sign up for Allison K's upcoming retreat because it's something I want to do. I mean, I'm making that up, but you get where I'm going with that.
Totally. And that's 100% it. And it comes back to alignment, right? So all of these things sort of piggyback upon each other. And I'm unfortunately, probably from a marketing perspective, not someone who can look at just one little piece of this and say, that's what I do. I have to pull this into a big, you know, a more systemic and or systematic and holistic perspective, because it all matters. So if we don't build that alignment inside our business, regardless of what our exit intent is, then we do end up in that burnout. If we don't have a vision for where we're headed, we end up in burnout. If we don't feel like we're ever making an impact, meaning is so important to people in their work, whether it's your business or whether it's in your job. So many people are dissatisfied in their jobs because they don't see what their work means. That's a huge thing for me. I do a lot of corporate consulting, and sometimes it can really feel like that because you're in this huge organization and, you know, your work is a drop in the bucket. So working with my small business owners and my solos is just so much more meaningful to me, and I can see the impact I'm creating. So that really matters to people.
Yeah,
so all absolutely. Of those things have to be in place inside your business, regardless of what your exit intent is.
Yeah, love that. I love that. This is just all so good. So what would you say to the person listening who maybe is thinking, you know, this all really sounds good. I really have no idea where to even start. What do you say
Call
to that
me.
Person? Well, they're obviously reaching out to you, but like, what's your best, like, give us a few pieces of advice.
I would say take a step back and look at your business, right? And do a little bit of a map to say what feels really good inside your business, what doesn't feel really good inside your business. I have a little exercise that I put everybody through at the start of all the work that I do. And there's sort of these four pillars of passion inside your business. And I sort of said passion with tongue in cheek, but it actually is true. People think that they need to build a business around like, oh, what's my mission? You know, I want to make whatever. But what they don't get down to is like the way I've actually created my business. Am I working to my pillar of passion? It's either the customer that I want to work with, or it's the product I'm selling, like the offer I'm selling, or it's the experience or skills I bring to the table, or it's the way that I want to work. Now, we want to optimize for all four of those pillars, but when we can identify which one is our gut punch, then you start to see whether you've created a business around that, or if you've created business based on all of the business literature that says start with the client first and work out from there. If I did that, I would build a business I didn't like, because that's not my core pillar. Yes, do I have preferences around who I want to work with? Sure. But it's not like my other client who was like, I don't care what I do. I don't care what the rest of my business looks like, as long as I'm working with this particular client, right?
Yeah.
So you got to figure out what that pillar of passion is first. And then you got to figure out if you've built your business around that or if you haven't. And then the work starts to like, there's a whole linear progression from there. Okay, well, am I working with the clients then that are well aligned with that pillar for me? And then am I creating offers that are well aligned with those clients? And then am I doing marketing that's, you know, am I building a financial plan and a sales plan that meets that need? And then am I doing marketing to match that financial plan? And then am I, you know, and so on and so forth. And so there's like these six layers of your business model design that all sort of linearly progress from there. So start with that first, you know, understanding yourself and being really honest with yourself about what it is that you want and who you are and what you value and why you haven't built a business around that yet, and start with that realignment exercise. But if you want to really start thinking about assets, then make that plan. Go get the 9 types of assets and start making an inventory for yourself. What assets do I have inside my business right now? What do I have inside my business that would actually be valuable? How can I get creative about leveraging those assets? What would I want to invest in that would, you know, build the value around this? Now, it doesn't mean we're going to turn away from income and revenue. Yes, we're always going to want to make income and revenue.
Yeah.
But we want to,
the idea is what my coach calls living in the and. The idea is you want the revenue to still come in, but you also want to be available for what else you can do, you know?
Right. Right. The whole thing came to me because I lost my house and everything in my divorce. And in this market, you know, we pay $4,000 for to rent a tiny little 1,200 square foot house, right? Like, so am I going to get back into real estate? Probably not in my lifetime in this market, but where could I also build value that would be similar to that as an investment? And for me, that's inside of business. So, you know, this whole concept of my business being an investment and being something that grows in value, that was a real revelation for me. Yours can too. Everyone's can. And there's just different ways of thinking about it.
Love that. Love that. So do me a favor. If you could go back and just repeat those 4 pillars one more time, because we went through them really fast.
Yeah. So it's a particular customer, right? And so, for example, you know, this customer I was dealing with, she was trying to figure out the what of her business, but really what she was motivated by was working with this particular customer group. She didn't care what she did for them as long as that was them. So for her, the customer was her pillar, like that particular customer. Or it could be that you have a particular offer or product that you've created. Typically with service-based professionals, this is not their pillar. But, you know, I own a software company, and so our pillar would be the product we've created, right? Or it's a particular skill or experience. So what you do is you go through and you say, what is my top thing in each of these pillars? Don't get into this whole mindset, you know, overanalyzing. Just first instinct, what's your gut punch? So right. What is that skill, right? What is that skill that you want to use in everything that you do? Or it's the way that you want to work. So for me, it's like, I don't want to work on things where I have to create, you know, like I did in consulting, these big reports. And like, I'm an analyst, I'm an architect, I'm really good, like on my feet. And so I want to do work that, and I want to own my time. So that's my pillar, because I have that gut punch around that. Like, I cannot compromise on that one, but I can compromise on who I work with. I can compromise on my offers. I can compromise on, you know, what primary skills I'm using. I want to build for all of them and optimize for all of them. So, you know, just because you're figuring out which is your ideal one doesn't mean that you're giving up everything else.
Yeah.
But it's just knowing yourself. Yeah.
Oh, it's like the common point, right? So yeah, I totally get that. So awesome. Where can people connect with you and get your free gift?
On my website. It's stephaniehayes.biz. And I'm also quite active on LinkedIn. So either one of those two.
Okay, fabulous. Thank you so much for making time to talk today. This was such a great conversation. There's just so much value in what you're talking about. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, of course. So folks out there listening, if what we talked about, this was a really cool conversation, because it really wasn't about how Stephanie works with her clients. We talked a lot about her programs and how she's able to help her clients. But it really wasn't so much about the client experience as it was about how can we help our clients really get excited about what they do. And I just think that's so important in today's business world. There's so many people out there just going through the motions, simply waiting for the day that they can just say they're ready to walk away or whatever. And so if you're an entrepreneur, I know you totally get this. And if you're listening to this show, you're either an entrepreneur, you're a business owner, one or the other, or both. So on that note, if what we talked about today was really helpful and inspiring for you, and you know somebody in your world who you think needs to hear it, please copy this episode. We're on every major podcast platform out there, and send it to them as a gift from me. Or you can connect with me on my site, www.theallisonk.com, and just hit the connect button and just write to me directly. Tell us where you want this to go, and we will be glad to take care of it for you. This is really how we've been able to build such an amazing audience and why we're heard all over the world. And I love hearing from you guys every single week. Every week, I get so many messages from a lot of you that I've never met, that I don't know, but you tell me how much what we talk about really helps you And that is exactly why we do both of our shows. So just know that whether you're listening to me today for the first time or whether you've been following us for a while, that we do consider you part of our family, and we're very grateful for each and every one of you. That's what I got for you this week on the podcast, folks. We will see you next time. Bye.